Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll free, 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Well, we always get lots and lots and lots of calls when our next guest is on, and the lines are probably already filling up, so you might want to get ready to dial 888-318-7884. Our topic this hour, I suppose, is both timely and timeless. Chastity is the virtue most held in scorn by the modern world, probably, but in recent weeks we see more evidence yet again of the need for greater chastity if we're to live in a just world. And if you have questions about the virtue of chastity, if you'd like to talk about how to live a chaste life, or if you want to argue with us about chastity, all those things are welcome. I will warn moms and dads who might have little ones around that we will likely speak frankly. And if such frank talk about the virtue of chastity and about its opponents is going to not be appropriate for your little ones, then this would be a good hour to tune elsewhere, maybe VeggieTales. Oh, now I make myself feel bad because I love VeggieTales, and now I kind of wish I was watching VeggieTales. 888-318-7884 is our number, 888-318-7884. And the guest, yes, it is Jason Everett, best-selling author of more than 10 books, including The Theology of the Body for Teens and How to Find Your Soulmate Without Losing Your Soul. Jason is a frequent guest here. He's once a member of the staff here at Catholic Answers and now travels all over the world sharing the good news of the gospel, especially as it relates to chastity. Jason Everett, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me back on. It's good to be back.
Have you ever seen VeggieTales?
Oh, yes. I've got 7 kids, so I've seen many, many episodes.
Yep. Well, nothing like a singing tomato. Again, 888-318-7884, our number. We are discussing chastity this hour with Jason Everett. And I imagine you grasped my reference at the beginning, but so much talk about sexual abuse, particularly kind of a creepy sexual abuse towards women from powerful figures, but not only that. I mean, expanding out in all different ways. But you feel like if you watch too much of the news these days, you need to immediately get in the shower. And I imagine there's some who do not see this as related to the general kind of licentiousness of our society. How do you see it?
Yeah, I think it's interesting how, you know, everyone is, you know, berating the Hollywood folks that are perpetrating these acts, which they should be, but at the same time, missing out on the fact that the culture seems to have just celebrated the legacy of the passing of Hugh Hefner as if he was this pioneer for sexual liberation and women's rights, when really what was he? You know, he was an elderly man that got women to degrade themselves sexually to advance their careers. Well, that sounds a lot like another individual in the news as well. And, you know, obviously, you know, consent is a factor, but in the end, aren't these guys doing something quite similar of getting women to say, hey, you know, if you really want to move ahead in the world, then we've got to reduce you, in a sense, to your sexual value. And that's really what lust is. It's the reduction of the person to their sexual value. And as horrible as all this news is, I mean, there is some good things that are being drawn out of it, namely more women are speaking out, hey, this happened to me too. And not only does that help a lot of the victims, you know, to not hide in shame, but also hopefully will inspire others around the world who may not have been victims from some Hollywood celebrity, but maybe from an uncle or a friend, to be able to go find counseling. And so I think we need to remind people who may be listening, the church has resources for those who suffered. There's a website called CatholicTherapists.com. Now, although I and Catholic Answers can't endorse every counselor on there, there's lots of great ones. And so if you've gone through this, use some of those resources like Catholic Therapists. My wife has a website called WomenMadeNew.com. And it doesn't matter what you've been through. I mean, this whole scandal that's arisen, there's more Hollywood stars like, what's the guy's name, Corey Feldman, the kid that was in Goonies, is now coming out and saying, you know, want to know what the real problem with Hollywood is? And I'm quoting him here. He said, the number one problem in Hollywood was and is and always will be pedophilia. And he's now sharing how this is what he suffered as a young actor. And so although it's a big mess, hopefully it's going to be a mess that's going to purge and is going to heal.
Amen to that. That's pretty shocking coming out of Hollywood. I mean, for him to say that about Hollywood, I don't doubt it. I have two things come to mind. The immediate objections that the person who maybe is not the closest friend of the Catholic Church is, first of all, who are you people to talk about this? Well, let me just let you address that one first. I mean, I'll just say it before someone calls up and says it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've got to realize this is not something isolated to the Catholic Church or to Hollywood or to teachers or to uncles or to cohabiting boyfriends. This is a human problem and one that afflicts every single human person in various ways. You know, now, obviously, the church is not immune to sinners being present in it. You know, they've said that the Catholic Church is not so much a museum of saints as it is a hospital of sinners. And, you know, John Paul II was very clear, there's no place in the priesthood for those who would abuse children. And it's a tragedy that that happened. And the church has, you know, taken proper steps for creating safe environments for churches with chaperones, because no one wants to see this stuff happen. So instead of attacking the church or attacking Hollywood, you know, we've got to realize that every human person is in great need of redemption. I remember Christopher West once said that, just not to make light of sexual abuse, he said, just in virtue of being raised in our hypersexual culture, all of us have been sexually abused. And in the sense of all of this imagery and all of these lies, and the world will say, oh, well, chastity, that's just so outdated. It's so old fashioned. But I mean, if you really want to know what's outdated and old fashioned, I mean, promiscuity is probably much older than chastity is, you know, so you can't say if something's good or bad based on how old it is. But this is a problem that's been inside the church, outside of the church, but the only answer to it is the person of Christ himself and the redemption that he offers us.
888-318-7884 is our number, 888-31-TRUTH, if you would like to speak with Jason Everett, a well-known and well-traveled speaker and author on the topic of chastity, and that is our topic today, chastity. Is this just what the world needs, more chastity? Or, you know, what about this person, though? Jason, this was my other objection that I wanted to express. Not the person who says, well, who are you Catholics to talk about? But the person who says, look, people have been unchaste forever. This has been going on forever. It's you're just trying to put your finger in the dike, you know, kind of to hold back what you can't hold back. Why are you bothering with this?
Well, I mean, you could always give that little analogy that everyone's heard of, that kid walking along the seashore and all the sand dollars getting washed up, or starfish and dying, and he's kind of chucking them back into the ocean, and someone says, oh, you know, you really think you make a difference? I mean, there's tens of thousands of them. And he just picks up one more, chucks it in the ocean, and said, well, it made a difference for that one. And so, you know, our job is not to be the Messiah. I mean, that job description has already been taken care of. It's above my pay grade. I'm not the Messiah. You know, I'm simply called to do what God is asking me to do, one person at a time. And so when I go and I speak at high schools and universities, and, you know, kids, you know, one kid just messaged me on Instagram after my talk in Boston on Monday. And he said, you know, I just want to thank you because I was thinking of doing some really bad stuff with girls. And after your talk, I realized that's not the road I want to take for my life. You know, thank you. And he signed it, and he was an eighth grade kid. You know, and if he hadn't heard that message as, you know, a 13-year-old, you know, what things could he do by the time he's 21 years old? You know, the effects of the sin, if they're not curbed and healed younger, in these younger years, you know, God knows what could come of that young man's life. And so our job isn't to save the galaxy. It's just to listen to God and do what it is that he's asking us to do.
888-318-7884 is the number. Catholic Answers Friday edition on chastity today with Jason Everett. Jason, how much of what you do is, I know that you inspire people and you share the message of chastity. You explain why chastity is the most humane and human way to live. It's most consistent with what God has made us to be. But how much of what you do is practical in terms, I mean, of helping people to live chaste lives?
Yeah, I mean, part of it is saying why. You know, why should we be chaste? Why should I save this for marriage, or why should I not look at that on the internet? But even if a person understands all the whys, they're still left with, okay, well how?
Simply,
yeah. You know, and part of it is obviously human effort, because God has given us the gift of free will, but we have to realize in the end that chastity, really doesn't begin in our lives until we realize you can't do this on your own. You know, it's a gift from Jesus Christ, and he'll give it to us if we sincerely ask for it. And he gives us the means, namely the sacraments, to be able to come to him in confession when we fall, and to be able to receive him as much as every day if we want in the Eucharist, that God is going to give us all of the graces. So it's not all him, it's not all us, but we have to open ourselves to receive the gift of his grace so we can live it out. And then you learn practical strategies. Okay, what do I do at the gym with my imagination when I see those people, you know, that woman? Or what do I do when I see that billboard and I'm driving to work? You know, how can I transform that moment of temptation into a moment of grace? Well, maybe I can pray for that woman on the billboard. So I'm responding to her beauty with love and interceding for her, that wherever she is in her life right now, that, you know, God would bless her and lead her closer to heaven. So we can learn these little strategies in the spiritual life that'll not just to help us with, you know, thoughts in our own imaginations, but learning how to love our girlfriend, boyfriend, husband, or wife more like God would.
Chastity is our topic. Jason Evert is our guest. Our number, 888-318-7884. We'll be right back with your calls for Jason right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Call us now with your question. Hello? On Catholic Answers Live.
It's October, and as we head to the end of the year, Catholic Answers is kicking off its annual winter sale in its newly redesigned online shop, with great discounts on all of the books, DVDs, CDs, ebooks, and MP3s that we carry. With great new releases on church history, scripture, Bible prophecy, and the saints, the shop at Catholic.com is once again your go-to place for solid Catholic resources, with a store-wide discount to boot. Just enter the promo code WINTER at checkout and you'll save 20% off your total purchase. That's right, 20% off the hundreds of great Catholic resources we have in our online store from now till the end of the year. To get those discounts, just go to shop.catholic.com. That's shop.catholic.com.
Face it, it's tempting and easy to be a man of the world. Father Terence Ehrman has a challenge for you. Be a man of God instead. In his new book, Man of God, Father Ehrman draws on his experience counseling men who are struggling to live in the world but not be of the world. In a unique, easy-to-read format, he offers holy spiritual direction for all men who want to master themselves and be transformed from within. Order your copy of Man of God today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their faith and values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. We are talking chastity with our guest, Jason Evert, who is, one of the leading speakers and writers in the Catholic world and maybe in the larger world on this very topic, helping lots and lots of people, and including helping people find practical ways to live chaste lives, but in addition to making the reasonable case for chastity. If you would like help in any of those areas or have questions in any of those areas, please give us a call, 888-318-7884. We go now to Richard in Houston, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Richard, you're on with Jason Evert. What's your question?
Oh, thank you very much. My question is, it has in part sort of to do with the request of Our Lady of Fatima to make sacrifices and offerings for others. And mm-hmm. if one is involved in something like internet pornography or chronic masturbation or anything like that, are there prayers or any sacrifices or offerings they try to make efficacious in any way?
Okay, no, it's a very good question. I mean, one thing we need to keep in mind is a principle we see in the book of James that says the fervent prayer of the righteous person is very powerful. And so that's kind of leading us to believe, okay, the holier I am, you know, there's power behind that prayer, largely because of the union of my will and my heart with that of God. Now, if I'm struggling with an internet porn addiction, does God hear my prayers? well, I hope he would hear my prayers, because there's no other way I'm going to break free from that addiction unless he hears my prayers. And so theologically speaking, if a person is in a state of mortal sin, now you need to distinguish grave matter from mortal sin. A lot of people think that, okay, if you've got some person who struggles with masturbation, boom, that's a mortal sin. Well, hey, it's grave, it's serious matter, but is the person doing it with sufficient reflection, full consent of the will, total knowledge this is sinful? Or is this an addiction that, you know, might lessen the culpability or the guiltiness of that person's sin? These are things we need to consider, because the church will never tell you, you know, okay, you know, that person's in hell, because only God knows the state of that person's soul. But let's say theoretically there's a person in a state of mortal sin. Their good works, strictly speaking, do not merit some type of eternal reward if they're living in a state of mortal sin. But can God hear the prayers of a person in a state of mortal sin? He absolutely can, because that's how we can call out to him for his mercy, which is in effect a prayer. You know, how much does God honor the novena of a person who's seriously addicted to porn versus someone who's, you know, mildly in the habit of looking at swimsuit magazines? You know, God alone knows the answers to all those, you know, fine distinctions. But, it, you know, God wants prayers from everybody, regardless of how holy or sinful we think we are. Humanity needs as many prayers as possible. And so if you know someone struggles with mortal sin, you know, try to invite them back into the sacramental life, so that God can put his life back into that person's soul. So that way the good works of that person can truly merit and receive that reward in heaven. So does that help a little bit?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Richard. We appreciate the call. We're talking chastity with Jason Everett today on Catholic Answers Live. We go now to Patricia. Patricia, hang on a second. Before I go to you, I will just remind parents that we're going to speak frankly about sexual matters while we're talking about chastity. So if that's not appropriate for your youngins at this time, maybe another activity for this hour. Patricia in Omaha, Nebraska, listening on Spirit Catholic Radio. You're on with Jason Everett. Your question, please.
Yes, hi, Dr. Everett. I wanted to
ask you. Not a doctor, but thank you for the honorary.
Oh, okay. I wanted to promote you, but okay. Thank you for your honesty. I wanted to know, as far as maybe a strategy to help a person remain chaste, do you recommend to try to avoid the temptations in the culture, such as going to R-rated movies and listening to the popular and rap songs that are anti-chastity, to try to avoid those and maybe, say, even go back to the 1940s and try and find some more romantic-type movies and songs to listen to and look at? What do you recommend in that regard?
Yeah, there are some great resources out there for doing exactly this. Focus on the Family has a good one called PluggedIn.com. And that will give you movie, television, video game, and music reviews. So if your kid says, oh, hey, Mom, can I watch Game of Thrones? You know, well, you can just type that in there at PluggedIn.com, and it'll pull up why there's so much objectionable content and we shouldn't be putting that junk into our eyes or our ears. It'll do the same thing for video games that a parent might think is harmless. Well, Grand Theft Auto, that looks like a fun little race car game. Well, no, there's pornographic content in this video game for kids. And so resources like PluggedIn.com are very useful to let you know what's good and what's bad, even on a date night. You know, my wife might say, oh, let's go watch this movie. I'll pull it up on the website and say, hey, did you know it has all this junk in it? Well, no. Okay, well, let's watch something else. And so we need to be very discerning of what we're receiving through our senses, through our eyes, through our ears, through our conversations. And it's a necessary part of practicing chastity. Because, you know, I often tell the guys that I talk to, let's just be honest as guys, like, we cause 90% of our own temptations by who we hang out with and what we look at. And then we blame it on the women for it's why it's hard to be pure. We've got to look at, am I putting myself in these occasions of sin, you know, exposing myself to all these images, and then complaining it's difficult to have a pure imagination. You know, we've got to be able to, you know, guard the innocence of our soul long before, you know, we're in some extremely tempting situation. It's a lot more preventative work than anything if we're really going to, I think, advance in a pure life. So, yeah, taking a step back from the culture, certain types of music and, you know, Netflix. I think there's, isn't there like a pure version of that? Like, I don't know what it's called, but, you know, there's different movies, you know, sites that you can find that'll only have good content. And a little Google online should be able to help you find those.
Okay, Patricia?
Much.
I think you might be referring to the Ignatius and the Augustine Institute started a website for media, and it's called Formed. And doesn't Formed have – I'm looking at Darren to ask him this question. I think maybe Formed has – well, or I would look at Ignatius Press. Just go to the Ignatius website because I think they have a movie service like that.
Yeah. Formed has a lot of great stuff. I just pulled up today, pureflix.com. I just pulled that up right
Pure
now
Flix.
Online.
Right.
I think that's like a Christian answer to Netflix that would have a lot of good content that you could
right.
probably show your families. But
yeah,
I'd say just be discerning, and there's a lot of good resources out there because you're not the only person that's wrestling with wanting to find entertainment in a wholesome way.
888-318-7884, our number. Jason Everett is our guest, and we go now to Anonymous in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, listening on Catholic Community Radio. Anonymous, your question for Jason.
Jason, Cy, thank you for taking my call. In the past, my spouse and I have been using contraception, and it was 5 years ago when I fell in love with JP2's teaching with theology of the body, and I can never go back. And now, practicing chastity with my wife, is, according to my wife, she's saying that it's tearing our marriage apart because she refuses to do MFP because her cycle. She says that her cycles are irregular, and she, you know, it's a lot of work, and I understand she doesn't want to have a child, and I agree with her at this point of our time because we have two. But at the same time, you know, she wants that intimacy in our marriage, and I do too. But I can't go back and use contraception again because I know that it can tear apart our marriage. How do you practice chastity with a spouse that doesn't believe that chastity is going to help their marriage and believes that it's going to tear it apart?
Yeah, yeah. Well, first, I just want to commend you for your courage and wanting to lead your marriage and your family to Christ and through the cross. And, you know, NFP, I think a lot of times when it's sold to engaged couples or married couples, it's always this positive, oh, it's like going from honeymoon back to engagement, and you're living the theology of the body and renewing your wedding vows in the flesh, and it just sounds so great. And then you start practicing NFP, and it's like, wait a minute. You know, this is a pain in the neck. You know, this is really difficult. I feel like this is separating us in a sense. And a lot of times what NFP will do is it will, in a sense, speed up, I guess you could say, one of the processes of the sacrament of marriage, which is the sanctification of the spouses, which is where our faults will come to the surface. They'll rise up kind of like oil and water. And so if there's a lack of chastity, of self-mastery, of the Christian virtues, a lot of times the demands of chastity marriage is going to bring that right up into our faces. And more often than not, it's the husband complaining that the wife wants to use NFP and he doesn't want to practice the self-control. So I would say to try to show her that there are great tools out there that you could use for NFP that'll make it a little easier for charting her cycle. There's even a little computer you can get. It's no bigger than the size of a CD, but it's maybe an inch tall. And, you know, she takes her temperature first thing in the morning, and it'll chart very precisely. I mean, more than 99% accuracy and planning out the family. And so, hey, you know, we can be a team in this, and I'll help you out on this. Look, I know it's hard. I know it's difficult, but maybe you can just try to be extra affectionate to her to show your appreciation for her making the sacrifice for the family and try to love her as intensely as you can, so to speak, outside of the bedroom, you know, as well as inside, but outside of the bedroom to show just your deep appreciation, your affirmation, your love, the bringing home the flowers, of just saying, hey, look, so she can realize, yeah, NFP is hard sometimes. It's a pain. It's difficult. But I've got a man who truly loves me, who honors me, and is willing to make the sacrifice. Although I know it's not easy for him or me, he's willing to do this because he truly loves me. And so just to try to speak that language of love as much as possible, and hopefully she can say, hey, you're both in this together. And NFP is very effective, but it is at the same time demanding. And sometimes I ask God, like, why do you make this so hard? You know, and I think the answer he gives us is because he really likes kids. He wants the default position to be openness to life. And I know, as a husband of seven, you know, it's not always the time to bring a new little member into the family. But God wants to have a little bit of prayerful tension there of inviting us to look into our hearts, because when we fall back into contraception, it's so easy just not to have kids for 2 or 3 or 4 years, because it's just so easy. And I think part of the challenge is because God wants to keep us continually discerning what might be his plan for the family. Because responsible parenthood isn't always about having fewer kids. Sometimes responsible parenthood is actually about having more. But that's up to each couple and their prayer life. But just try to love her as much as you can so she can see she's got a fantastic guy, which I know she does.
Anonymous, thank you so much for that call. Jason, I do not believe you are a polygamist, so I'm going to amend husband of seven to father of seven.
Oh, did I? Oh, yeah.
I'm pretty sure. I was pretty sure you only had one wife. We'll take a quick break. We're talking chastity with Jason Evert on Catholic Answers Live. We'll be right back after this.
Stay with us for more Catholic Answers Live.
Why does God sometimes reveal himself privately? How does the Church discern reports of supernatural miracles and apparitions? What are some of the most famous Marian apparitions in history? And what do they teach us? In 20 Answers, Apparitions and Revelations, you'll find smart, solid answers to these questions and many more, explaining the scriptural and theological basis for private revelation, unpacking the Church's approach to evaluating and promoting miraculous phenomena, and sharing inspiring accounts of approved apparitions and revelations from the distant past to the present age. 20 Answers, Apparitions and Revelations is part of the 20 Answers series from Catholic Answers, offering hard facts, powerful arguments, and clear explanations of the most important topics facing the Church and the world, all in a compact, easy-to-read package. Visit shop.catholic.com today and take a look at this exciting new series from Catholic Answers Press.
It could be said that anti-Catholic notions of the Church's history are the original fake news. With all the misinformation being spread, where does one look for the truth? In The Real Story of Catholic History, Professor Steve Weidenkopf gives you the facts on over 50 of the most common misconceptions about Catholic history and shows you how to answer them simply and powerfully. Whether it's to answer claims about Catholicism's supposedly pagan origins, old myths about the Inquisition that never really seemed to go away, or more modern errors that anti-Catholics put forth, The Real Story of Catholic History is an essential resource for every Catholic's bookshelf. Order your copy of The Real Story of Catholic History today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
Once you lose faith, if somebody does something to you and hurts you one time, two time, three time, four time, St. Peter thought seven was a good number. How often should I forgive my brother, Lord? Seven times? My Lord said, no. 70 times 7 times a day.
For more information on Mother Angelica, visit Religious Catalog at EWTNRC.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Jason Evert, our guest this hour. We're talking chastity and lots and lots of, well, actually, I was going to say lots and lots, but every single line is full at the moment. If you dial now, you may well get in before the end of the hour. However, 888-318-7884 is the number. We go now to Krista in Olympia, Washington, listening on Sacred Heart Radio. Krista, your question for Jason Evert.
Yeah, actually, the last person that called in kind of touched on the subject. I was hoping you could speak a little bit about the difference between chastity and celibacy, because you can have a chaste marriage and you don't be celibate. So I know a lot of people out there are thinking chastity, I'll never have sex ever.
Yeah.
Oh.
No, very good question. Well, let's throw in there also abstinence, just so to round out the vocab that gets confused quite often. Celibacy comes from a Latin word meaning the state of not being married. So a lot of people think celibacy means abstinence, but strictly speaking, it means not married, which then you would understand to be therefore should be abstinent. So that's what celibate means, not married. Abstinence means you are not currently sexually active. Chastity, in contrast to abstinence, which is simply the absence of a particular behavior, chastity is more the presence of a particular virtue, namely purity. And so, therefore, it's something that husbands should practice, wives, children, because when a husband and wife become one flesh, they're not being impure, by the fact of engaging in the marital act. In fact, it's an expression of the sacrament that they are speaking through their bodies what they exchange through their words at the altar, that they're making a total gift of themselves to the other in this faithful way that's open to life. And so chastity inside of marriage does not always mean abstinence. I mean, sometimes it might, because if I go on a trip away from my wife for a week, well, hey, abstinence is an expression of chastity in marriage. If I get home from the trip and my wife is exhausted and tired, well, then my abstinence then is an expression of love for the wife and by practicing chastity. But it would also encompass other things, such as I'm not looking at pornography, we're not using contraception. These are other ways to practice chastity inside of marriage. But you're right. People get them confused all the time. A mom came to one of my talks, and she said when she was coming to my talk, her husband asked her as she was leaving, "Honey, where are you going tonight?" And she said, "Oh, I'm going to the chastity talk." And the husband said, "Well, don't get any ideas while you're there." Okay, that's the misunderstanding, okay? It doesn't mean abstinence. It just means you use the gift of sexuality according to God's plan for your life, depending on what state of life you have, whether it's single, married, or religious.
Okay, Krista?
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Thank you very, very much for that. And when we talk about chastity in marriage, and you mentioned pornography there, I imagine you have thought about this, but what are we talking about in chastity in marriage? Because I imagine some people will say, well, pornography, come on. I mean, that's not, I don't know, I'm not cheating, I guess it would be a way to say that. Or other people might say, you know, carrying on a flirtation on Facebook, oh, well, I'm not doing anything. Or how do you, what do you kind of give as a baseline for not celibacy, not abstinence, but a chaste marriage?
Well, I think you could kind of flip it around. Let's say that there's a man who's making that argument to his wife. Hey, I'm not actually doing it. I'm just looking at a couple websites to relax after work at 11 o'clock at night. You know, I'm not actually cheating on you. Imagine if he was on a date with his wife and she seemed kind of distracted at the restaurant looking over at some other man. And the husband said, well, what are you thinking about? And she's thinking, oh, I'm just thinking of having, a sexual relationship with that man who's sitting over there. Imagine what the husband would say. Hey, what? Are you kidding me? And she would say, well, honey, I'm not actually doing it. I'm just fantasizing about it. Why it would cause such an uproar in his own heart is because he knows when you get married and you promise to be faithful, you're not just promising the fidelity of your body. You're promising the fidelity of your heart, your imagination, your eyes. All of that is to be given as a gift to your spouse and to no other, which demands a custody, a self-control of how we behave. And Jesus Christ, I mean, he said, if you so much as look at a woman with lust, you commit adultery in your heart. And John Paul II said, do not fear the severity of these words, but have confidence in their salvific power, their power to save us. And I think Jesus is obsessed with the human heart because he knows that whoever wins the heart, whether it's God or the devil, lust or love, wins everything. Whoever wins the heart wins the imagination, the eyes, the body, the life, and the soul for all eternity. And so that's where the war is that needs to be won. And so if we're truly going to be faithful to our spouses, it's not just what we do with our body, it's what we do with our hearts and our entire human person.
Krista, again, thanks very much for that call. We go now to Clark in Gifford, Connecticut, listening on the EWTN app. Clark, your question for Jason Everett.
Yeah, hi, Jason. So earlier in the show, you were talking about Hollywood and its unfortunate state, I guess you can say. So that got me thinking about the performing arts, whether it be music or acting or whatever else, theater. I know a lot of good-hearted Christians appreciate the arts, as they should. So how can someone make a wise decision as to whether the environment they're in is a toxic one, regarding chastity and impurity, or whether they should perhaps stay in it and set a good example. So it seems there seems to be a fine line there that a lot of people might not know how to deal with.
Yeah, I think the most important step to take is to get a good, solid, holy, spiritual director, a priest who can really give a good evaluation of, is my lifestyle dragging me away from God? Is this really pulling me away from him, or am I really being a light to this industry? Because it's not just music. You could look at sports. You could look at a guy like A.C. Green when he joined the Los Angeles Lakers. He was a virgin, and the Lakers actually took out bets against him on how long it would take him to lose his virginity in the NBA. Okay, we'll give him a week, or I'll give him to the All-Star break. And they all paid money to bet this. And not only did he wait not past the All-Star break, he waited many years into his NBA career when he met a woman who was with the Houston Rockets organization and married her as a virgin. And he said, now my teammates come back to me and say, hey, you know, I know we made fun of you in that locker room, but man, I wish I did what you did. You know, I got an ex-wife in Charlotte. I got some kid I pay child support for in Chicago. And I know we made fun of you, but man, your example, you know, really speaks to me now. And so whether it's sports or any industry, you're going to be in the midst of a lot of junk. And Christ is calling you to be a light to that. Now, maybe through discernment, you might choose, well, maybe I need to take my musical gifts outside of a more secular environment and use them to do more Christian music. I mean, that's between you and God. But, you know, whether you're an all-star athlete or a musician, there's going to be a lot of junk in an industry. But I think Christ isn't calling us to necessarily retreat from that culture, but perhaps to be salt and light to that culture. But that discernment process is one that you must choose, and preferably with the aid of a good spiritual, holy director priest.
Okay, Clark?
Great. Thank you.
I noticed, too, in relation to Clark's question, there are often organizations that are specifically there to help people. Like, I'm thinking about Athletes for Christ, or I know there are some groups in Hollywood, or, that within these industries, there are other people who are trying to live chaste and holy lives, and you can often find an organized group of people there that you can find support with.
Yeah, and you want to band together because, you know, you always become like your friends. There was a all-star Kansas City Royals baseball player, Mike Sweeney, and he told me that when he would go on road trips, he would always get a hotel room next to one of the other good Christians on the team that would have a door between the rooms, and they'd always leave the door open. So they'd always be accountable to each other of who's coming in the hotel room and what's being watched on the TV. And you just got to find other good people who are in the trenches with you.
Amen to that. Let's go to Mary in Omaha, Nebraska, also listening on Spirit Catholic Radio. Mary, your question for Jason.
Hi, thank you. My question is, how do I, do you have any resources or advice for introducing sexuality and chastity to my 11-year-old son? I want to warn him about what's out there in the world so he recognizes and can stay away from it, but also I don't want to take away his innocence and tell him too much of the perversions of the world.
Yeah, and this is a great question. This is why the church will never really give an age. 12 is that year, 10 is the year, 13, because every kid is so unique in their development and their surroundings. That's why the parents are the primary sex educators. It's not the church, not the school, not the state. There are good resources out there that you could use, and I'd recommend getting them, previewing them, and then thinking, okay, is he right for this? Or is this, a little bit much for him? And some of the places that you can look, Pauline Books and Media has books on the theology of the body that you can read to kids of all ages, starting at 2-3 years old, and then they get a little bit more advanced with age. And so you can find that stuff through Pauline Books and Media. There's also a group called Tobit, Theology of the Body Evangelization Team, and they have some great resources on their site, namely many of those books. Other Christians, even Mormons, have come out with good stuff. Like there's a book called Good Pictures, Bad Pictures. The subtitle is Porn-Proofing Today's Young Kids. And they've got an edition that might be for a little older kids and then ones for much younger ones called Good Pictures, Bad Pictures Junior, where you can read through and say, okay, it's not a question of if my kid is going to see porn. Sadly, the question is, when is my kid going to see porn? And so what can I do to anticipate this, in a sense, inoculating him, introducing a little bit of the element into his system to build up enough of an immunity to fight against the real thing when it comes. So those resources are good. There's another one called The Joyful Mysteries of Life, which is kind of an introduction to the birds and the bees through a Catholic lens. But there are good resources out there. The ones I mentioned are just a starter.
Okay.
Yes, thank you. That helps.
Thank you very, very much.
You're welcome.
For that call, Mary. We'll be right back with more after this on Catholic Answers Live.
This is Bishop Chad Zielinski from the Diocese of Fairbanks of Northern Alaska, and you are listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Hey everyone, guess what? It's October, and that means Catholic Answers is kicking off the annual winter sale in their online shop with great discounts on all of the books, DVDs, CDs, ebooks, and MP3s that we carry. With great new releases on church history, scripture, Bible prophecy, and the saints, the shop at Catholic.com is once again your go-to place for solid Catholic resources with a store-wide discount to boot. Just enter the promo code WINTER at checkout in our newly redesigned shop, and you'll save 20% off your total purchase. That's right, 20% off of hundreds of great Catholic books, DVDs, CDs, ebooks, and MP3s from now until the end of the year. That's shop.catholic.com.
Pope Francis said, "All of us are called to mature in our work as evangelizers. We want to have better training, a deepening love, and a clearer witness to the gospel. St. Paul Street Evangelization's online school of evangelization will equip you with the tools you need to be an effective evangelist. We'll ask for a pledge of financial support, but if you're unable to give, we'll set you up for free. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In Luke 12:54, Jesus chastised the crowds for their competence in discerning the indications of the weather and yet failing to interpret the signs of the times. They had had the preaching of St. John the Baptist and the teachings of Jesus, and still they lived primarily for themselves. Such signs they chose not to heed. We have those same signs by way of Scripture and the teaching authority of the Church. How much of an impact do they have on the way we live our lives? We turn on the weather channel or the radio or the computer to check out the weather. But how often do we earnestly seek the Lord's will for us with such openness that we put nothing before it, even if it is unpleasant and others may be displeased with us? This isn't always easy, but it is the only response that He deserves. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live, the hour just flying by with Jason Everett here as we talk about chastity, our last hour of the work week. And we haven't really used the words theology of the body very much in this conversation, but that has been a revolutionizing kind of teaching tool in the Catholic world. And maybe it's starting to influence beyond the Catholic world as well. But I wish that there was some way that I could get the whole theology of the body in 1 hour. That's what I'm looking for, Jason.
Well, wow. I'm glad you asked, because we actually have a book coming out in about 2 months. It's getting ready to go to the printer now, called Theology of the Body in 1 hour, because there's a lot of great resources out there that explain the Holy Father's teachings. But a lot of people are kind of intimidated by, wow, this one's really big, or this one's deeply theological. I don't have a lot of time. And so I decided to write this book. And so I read every book I could possibly find in English on the theology of the body, and had a bunch of experts on the topic review the manuscript and critique it. And so it's something that you can digest in an hour. And as soon as it comes out in about a month and a half, 2 months, it'll be available at chastityproject.com.
That's what a coincidence, huh? That's exactly thing that I was looking
providence.
For.
There's no coincidence.
And I just want to get clear on chastityproject.com is your website. You also have chastityproject.org. Why the two websites?
Well, chastityproject.com is our faith-based website. Chastityproject.org is our secular website, which is useful in like a public school or university setting. So there's zero religious content on chastityproject.org. So our books there, our DVDs, the blog, you know, articles, everything has no religious content. So you could get the booklets, bring them to your public school, they could read them to beginning to end, and they'll find nothing objectionable in it from a religious standpoint, because there's lots of people in the medical profession or in the education field that want to promote abstinence, but feel like, well, what can I use? Because everybody's going to say, oh, separation of church and state. So we just went ahead and separated the church from the state and just gave basic arguments for why chastity and abstinence is the healthiest lifestyle to live. And so all that's at chastityproject.org.
You mean chastity is not just a like a Christian thing that we impose on everybody else? There are other people in the world who are concerned about this?
Believe it or not.
As a matter of fact, it's probably one of the most universal of values. If you go through human history, there's, I mean, it may be expressed in different ways, but virtually everyone, certainly in Jesus' time, even though it was a very unchaste society in many ways, chastity was held up as a very high value.
No, I mean, and beyond Christianity, I mean, look at the Jews, the Muslims. I mean, this is a virtue that we can lock arms on. And even many people who don't claim a religious affiliation. I've had, you know, kids come to me up after the chastity talk and say, hey, you know, at a public school, you know, I'm glad you didn't talk about God, because now I realize for the first time that chastity makes sense, even though I don't go to church. And so, you know, there's plenty of reasons why God created us this way. And you can explain that in such a way without having to mention the Creator's name.
Anonymous in Dallas, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. You are on with Jason Everett. Your question, please.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
So I'm a pornography addict, and I'm part of a organization called Sex Addicts Anonymous. And I'm also a Catholic, and there are several other Catholic men in the group, in the program with me. And we all have kind of a different opinion on how the program and the church relate to our lives. And I kind of wanted to get what your opinion was about like 12-step programs that help with this kind of stuff and how it relates to our relationship with the church.
Yeah, well, 12-step programs have Christian roots. I would point you to an article that's actually on Catholic Answers' website. If you go to Catholic.com, there's an article called The Catholicity of a 12-step Programs. It's an article from back in 1996. But go to Catholic.com. And type on the Catholicity of 12-step Programs. Just search for that, and it's a much more robust article than I could summarize online, but or on the phone. But 12-step programs are not contrary to the grain of Catholic teaching. It's a more foundational, basic premise of like, hey, I've got an issue. I realize I cannot solve this without God. I need His help. And so there are many principles of any 12-step program, whether it's AA or Sexaholics Anonymous, that the Catholic Church is going to come, you know, very closely aligned with these teachings. The Catholic Church would simply say that the 12-step program is a good start, but you're ultimately going to want the graces of the sacraments, devotion to Our Lady, and things like that to fill it out. And so it's a good springboard. It's often a wonderful fellowship. And I, you know, commend you for having the courage and the humility to go to a group like this. It's one of the greatest gifts that you can give to yourself, is that wholeness that I think God wants to restore you to. And just remember that passage from the Old Testament where God says that God will restore the years that the locust has eaten, that the locust, you know, the swarm, this plague, had just destroyed years of crops. And God is promising that He's going to restore those years that were eaten by that plague. And for many sexual addictions or even the result of sexual abuse, they might feel like years of their life have just been stripped away and wasted away. But God promises, hey, I can restore that. And so 12-step programs, I think, are a good first step in that restoration process. But just try to make sure it's accompanied by a fuller Catholic theology that involves the sacraments.
Okay, Anonymous.
Yeah, that was great. That's kind of how I see it. Like, the church is my general practitioner, and this program is sort of like, you know, if I had cancer, I'd go see an oncologist. So,
Clever. Yeah, clever analogy. Yes, Anonymous, thank you for that call. It does bring another question to mind, Jason. I mean, when you hear about the damage that pornography does to individuals, to hearts, to marriages, all kinds of relationships, as a father, may I ask you, what do you think fathers should be saying to their children, whether they're young children or teenagers, about pornography?
Well, I think the first thing that we need to start with is, okay, you know, we're watching Monday Night Football together, and then this image comes on of a cheerleader or a commercial. What do I do in that teachable moment as a father? You know, to change the channel and just pretend like it didn't happen? Well, no, let's change the channel and let's talk for a second. Hey, guys, let's just, you know, change channel, mute it, and let's pray Hail Mary for her, you know, that she can learn the dignity that she deserves as a daughter of God. So that way you can just take these little moments that are constantly thrown in your face as a family, because anyone trying to raise pure kids today or just have a pure marriage knows how often you're just assaulted with all these, like, kind of these bugs that land on the windshield of your soul while you're kind of driving through life. And we got to realize, okay, this doesn't have to stain me, because, you know, one of the saints said that all the temptations of the world cannot stain a soul that does not love them. And so we need to teach our kids, hey, this stuff's going to happen. There's occasion of sin, but wherever sin, you know, is very present, you know, grace all the more is going to abound. And so just teaching them little spiritual strategies for overcoming the day-to-day temptations is going to be a good way. And then books like that, Good Pictures, Bad Pictures, it's a great way to start with the kids, because when they see this junk on their phones or iPads, to know, hey, come right to mommy and daddy. You're not going to get in trouble if you saw some bad image. Let's talk about it. And then how you can you know, deal with that next time it pops up. And let's build that open communication. And that's one of the greatest defenses you can have.
We go now to Jack in Huntsville, Alabama, listening on Catholic.com. Jack, your question for Jason Everett.
Hi, I had a question about Game of Thrones. My wife and I are fans of the show, and we've always skipped over the questionable scenes in the show that involve nudity. We've just skipped over and not watched them. But we had a friend come to us and basically say that they think that it's gravely sinful for us to watch that, even if we're skipping over the problematic parts. And I just wanted to get a sanity check on that and see what you guys had to say about it.
Yeah, well, I remember a dad was having a debate with his kid over the music the kid was listening to. And the kid's like, Dad, you know, there are some bad words, but I don't listen to those words, you know, those songs. I listen to mainly these other songs, and it's not a big deal. It's not really going to affect me that much. And, you know, the dad said, well, you know, even if it's a little bit, and the kid's like, well, no, Dad, it's not going to affect me that much. And the dad said, okay, fine. And they took a little break. The dad went outside and said, hey, you know, let's cook some brownies. So they started making up some brownies, and the dad took a teaspoon of dog poop out of the backyard. And he walked into the house, and he just dumped it into the brownie mix, and he kept stirring. And the kid's flipping out, like, well, Dad, you can't do that. And the dad said, kid, it's not a big chunk. It's probably not even going to be in your bite. It's really not going to affect you that much. It's not that big of a deal. And the kid said, Dad, but you can't put any in. It ruins everything. And the dad said, well, look, if you're not going to put this crap in your body, why are you going to put it into your brain? And the kid's like, oh, point for Dad, you know, point for Dad. And, you know, and it's not to say, okay, are you going to hell if you watch some parts of Game of Thrones that don't have the sexual content? You know, I'm not your spiritual director, but I would say the TV show, and I've never watched an episode of it. I need to make that disclaimer. My guess is the show has much more objectionable content than simply the sexual stuff, because if the producers have no qualms of conscience putting that content in, well, what is the rest of the content they're putting in there? Yeah, sure, maybe the adventure scenes are neat, but go to a website like PluggedIn.com. Read a thorough Christian review of this, that maybe there's more objectionable than just that. And if I'm watching this, aren't I, in a sense, contributing? Because they know the ratings, and the more ratings they get, the more money they get from advertisers, you know, the more money they can pay their actresses and actresses. Am I not, in a sense, you know, contributing to the show that I know is gravely evil by thinking I can just pluck out the chunks of excrement out of the episodes? I think in the end of your life, when you lay on your deathbed, you will not regret the hours that you spent not watching that show. And if you could think, what could I do with those hours that God had given to me in my life other than watch Game of Thrones? Is there something better I could have done to glorify God with this breath that he's given me today? And so take it to prayer and say, hey, maybe I can offer that up as you know, I saw an internet campaign that said, I'm going to give up this until abortion is made illegal. And people are like, I'm going to give up my favorite, you know, coffee or whatever. Well, maybe you can give up this. I'm going to give this up as a sacrifice and offer that up for the people in that industry. You know, but that's ultimately between you and God. But check out PluggedIn.com, read some of those reviews, and take it to prayer.
Okay, Jack? Oh, I guess Jack is taking it to prayer right now. Thanks for everybody for joining us this week. Thank you very much, Jason Everett, for a very fine end to our work week here at Catholic Answers. Jason can be found at chastityproject.com or chastityproject.org, and look for the new book coming out within a month, Theology of the Body in 1 Hour. Again, thank you very much, Jason Everett.
Thanks for having me on. God bless.
You too. And Darren, thanks very much for running all the machinery in there by yourself on a Friday afternoon. And Rochelle, thanks for, is it Rochelle? Yeah, thank you for answering the phones. Jesus Christ is the light of the nations. And we'll see you next time on Catholic Answers Live.